Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day with a goal of informing and motivating listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 5 regional stations, as well as 4 additional stations in Virginia. There's now a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. We sincerely need your help to accomplish this mission. Your support of any amount is needed to take this next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support us in this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale.
Go to fcbcatjax.com and click the donate button or send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258. Attention radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, let me remind you in Joshua chapter 3, Joshua and 2.5 to 3 million Jewish people were about to cross the Jordan River and go into the Promised Land. They'd wandered in the wilderness for some 40 years, and all of that 40 years of wandering, God had overshadowed and protected and provided for them, and they're about to enter in. And in the preparation, 3 days of preparation prior to going across the Jordan, Joshua tries to get the people prepared and ready and gives them instructions. And he says, before tomorrow, you need to sanctify yourselves before the Lord. That simply means to consecrate, means to make sure that you're right before the Lord. And he goes on to say in that 5th verse, as he states to them, sanctify yourselves for tomorrow. The Lord will do wonders among you. Verse 4, he's already said, for you have not passed this way heretofore. So, ladies and gentlemen, each and every day that's before us in this brand new year, we're going into something and a day and a place and events that we've not experienced before. But we can look in the rearview mirror, as I call it, and see what took place in 2020. And we had some major, major things taking place in 2020 that America has not seen in our history. We had the Chinese created, yes, the Chinese created COVID-19 virus that was created and weaponized in the laboratory, and whether it was released accidentally or purposely, only God knows at this juncture. I personally believe that it was released purposely, but nevertheless, we may never know the reality of that. But as a result of that, China has brought this to the shores of America, and as a result of that, Nancy Pelosi, Chuck Schumer, and the other part of the Democratic Communist Party, they have utilized that to weaponize it to be able to bring about the greatest coup that America has ever experienced in relationship to the life, the living, and the impact that it has on our constitutional republic. Just before the break, we were talking about these facts and where we're going and what's taking place. We have with us today on this broadcast Mike Hill, Congressman District 1 in the state of Florida, and I am prayerful that you as our listeners will recognize the grave danger that we're in America and the great need for us to pray and ask God to intervene. Mike, as we're talking about this scenario of what is taking place and where we're headed as a result of it, and just some of the indications of where we're going, and I'll speak to this, let you respond briefly, and then we'll take our next caller. Here's an article headline says, Democrats propose major changes to the House rules eliminating family language for gender-inclusive alternatives. The House Democrats unveiled proposed changes to the House rules on Friday, including the elimination of all gendered language to make permanent the recently established House Office of Diversity and Inclusion. Hear that? The House Office of Diversity and Inclusion. Nancy Pelosi Rules Committee Chairman James McGovern, Democrat of Massachusetts, claimed that changing the pronouns and familial relationships in the House rules to be gender neutral are necessary changes meant to honor all gender identities. This is just another indication, ladies and gentlemen, of the moral depravity that we have in the Socialist Marxist BLM Communist Democratic Party. And it goes into great detail about all of the changes, and I'll just give a portion of them. Instead of the words like father and mother and son and daughter, brother, sister, aunt or uncle, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, it will simply change that to parent or child or sibling or parent sibling, first cousin, sibling's child or spouse, et cetera, et cetera. And it supposedly will make it beneficial and acceptable and palatable for those that are gender dysphoric or for the LGBTQ community is all it would be about, nothing more and nothing less. And here's an article, Mike, that headline says, we should expect persecution of the church under a Biden-Harris administration. Those members of the American community who are religious should be preparing themselves for the attacks from an administration run by Joe Biden and Kamala Harris, according to the political editors at The Federalist. And it goes on to talk about what will take place if they go into office. And the bottom line, it says, American Catholics and indeed all Christians should acknowledge how rare it is to have have the President of the United States, a chief executive or who seems honestly to care about religious liberty and the right of conscience. Likewise, we should acknowledge that what's coming under Biden-Harris will be a much different society in the United States of America. Mike, I am, and I'm not, how would you say, depressed over it. I'm not a doom and gloomist. I'm not going to toss in the towel and say we lose. But as I see the handwriting on the wall, as we see the hand of the Socialist Marxist Democrats and what they're now saying, that doesn't bode well for our nation morally and ethically and biblically and spiritually. What do you say in relationship to that moral declension that's before us, that spiritual declension, and the future persecution and prosecution of Christians if Harris and Biden go in office?
I think that statement that we would be, that the church would be persecuted, is not just a wild assessment. It is something that we have seen this past year, and in fact, the past couple of years. This past year, we saw it in states like California and New York, where the governors were closing down churches. We even saw it here in Florida, where in Tampa, a pastor was arrested for having his services continuing. And they were using as the excuse that they were trying to stop the spread of COVID-19, which in and of itself is a lie. It was just an excuse to attack the church, which was in the hearts of those evil people in the first place. So we have seen it in play. And again, this isn't the beginning of it, just with this past year in COVID-19. We saw out in Colorado, the cake master there who was forced to try and build a cake for a gay marriage. And when he wouldn't, they were going to destroy him. And then the nuns out in, I forgot, I think it was Oregon or maybe it was Washington State, somewhere out in the Northwest, where they were being attacked because they would not back down on their religious standing. So for the statement to be made that should Biden and Harris get into office, that the church in America will be persecuted, I think is a true statement. But we need to go even further, Dr. Youngblood. If we see the church in America being persecuted, the church around the world will be persecuted.
Yes, absolutely. I believe we have Jose on the line. Go over the question, the comment, Jose.
Hey, thank you very much for taking my call. It's so sad to see what's going on in America. I mean, that's a spectacle. The Bible tells us that's what we have to respect. But inside the church, this so-called funny reverend in Georgia, he said he got biblical grounds for homosexual, same-sex marriage, and abortion. And it's sad to see the so-called Christians, all because they got the same skin color as him, supporting him. Are you crazy? So they are putting the skin color before God's commandments, God's teaching, the Bible. This is insane. And this is happening inside the church, which is sad. That's why I'm so glad that you speak and you say like it is. My other point, and the question that I got for you guys is, our son, he moved from Marietta, Georgia, 3 months ago to Hawaii with his wife. And he got a text last week from the communist Ossoff that is running, thanking him for his support and for voting for him. And our son called and said, wait a minute, I'm in Hawaii. I haven't voted for anybody. Why are they thanking me? I haven't voted for anybody. I'm here in Hawaii. And I had no answer. I said, well, I don't know. But according to the text that he got, they're thanking him for voting for Ossoff, which he never did. What can we do about it? That's my question. This is crazy.
Mike, what do you say to that statement?
Well, thank you for that phone call, and thank you for your statements. First of all, you're absolutely right. We see too many who are in the black community today who are supporting candidates simply because of their skin color. They don't care of what the position they stand for. They don't care whether or not they will support their oath of office to support, protect, and defend our Constitution. They're merely going on skin color, and that is called racism. And we are seeing too much of that in the black community. And as you say, that the one person who is running for office and who says he's a pastor of a church, that is a pastor of an apostate church.
Yes.
Any pastor who is going to promote or not condemn homosexuality and abortion and the LGBTQ movement cannot at the same time preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. So that is an apostate person who is running for office who calls himself a pastor. Now, the other point you made about your son moving out to Hawaii and then receiving notification, thank you for your vote, that is exactly what is wrong and what is going on, not only in Georgia, but in many other states where they are counting votes that should not have been counted, and always for those on the left. We never see it happen for the conservatives or those on the right. Now, I'd like to mention this, Dr. Youngblood. I thought that phone call that President Trump made yesterday to the Georgia Secretary of State was brilliant.
Yes.
It was brilliant. What it did was, because it wasn't just those two on the phone line, that there were many on that phone line, even though the press is only pulling out little snippets here and there and trying to make it sound like that President Trump was trying to strong arm the Secretary of State to find votes for him. That's the furthest thing from the truth. What President Trump was saying is that, hey, everybody knows that I won this election fair and square. What I'm asking you to do is find the right votes, find the legal votes. So not only was it brilliant in that sense, but it put him on notice that, hey, we are not going to let you get away with stealing this election with the two senators in Georgia coming up on January 5th. I'm putting you on notice now. We are looking at you. We are watching you. And what it is doing is calling out this corrupt Secretary of State and corrupt governor of Georgia for the illegal activities that they participated in on November 5th.
Yes. And one of the things, Congressman, I believe that based on what Jose just mentioned about his son getting a thank you for voting, chances are 100% that someone voted under his son's name, that his son did not cast the ballot, but an illegal vote was counted. I believe that is the almost 100% answer of his dilemma and the question on that. In fact, I'm looking at an article that says Georgia data shows that over 30,000 Trump votes removed, another 12,173 votes switched to Biden, according to the data science that it reviewed it. Georgia election data indicates that more than 30,000 votes were removed from President Trump and another 12,173 switched to the Democratic presidential candidate Joe Biden. Further in the article, it says, what we have here is fraud that we can prove in this election. There was fraud in Georgia's election. We can prove it with the data, according to the spokesman in this letter or the article. The voting will of the people of Georgia is not reflected in what was certified by the Georgia Secretary of State, end quote. And that's the summation of it, that I believe that many of these states, the battleground states in particular, people that really did not vote, people that had moved. In fact, I believe the statistical review shows that in the battleground states, I believe the number was 10,000 something or 20,000 something, an astronomical number of dead people actually voted. It's a shame to die and to realize that you voted Democrat, I've said, but that's what has taken place, and it should cause every Christian, every conservative, every patriot to be absolutely gravely concerned about where we're going. But, Congressman, let's switch gears for a moment. If Joe Biden goes into office, if that worst-case scenario were to take place, and even if he does not go into office, we've already set into place what I call the mandatory masking and the mandatory vaccines for all of Americans, as we're seeing now indications on a global basis that there's that mandatory vaccine and the mandatory shutdown, the mandatory, ID cards to show that you have been COVID vaccinated, et cetera, et cetera. In fact, here's an article that says states have authority to fine or jail people who refuse coronavirus vaccines, according to an attorney. It comes out of San Diego. A drug maker race to develop the vaccine against COVID-19, several legal questions are emerging. Could the government require people to get it? Could people who refuse to roll up their sleeves get banned from stores or lose their jobs? That short answer is yes, according to Dove Fox, a law professor and the director of the Center for Health and Law Policy and Biotechs at the University of San Diego. Quote, states can compel vaccinations in more or less intrusive ways, he said in an interview. They can limit access to schools, limit access to services, limit access to your jobs if you don't get the vaccination. They could force them to pay a fine or even lock them up in jail if they do not get vaccinated. So the question is, Congressman, what do you feel? Where do you think we're going as a nation with the forced lockdowns to continue, the forced mask wearing to continue, and then ultimately the forced vaccinations? Are we on a trajectory headed in that direction?
10 months ago, I would have said no, Dr. Youngblood. I would have said that no, Americans cherish their freedom too much. Of course, they will not give in to something like that. But then I see so many people who very willingly stayed in their home because they were told to by government, because they were afraid. There were so many, even to this day, who wear masks because they were told to, even though printed on the boxes of the masks themselves is a statement, this does not prevent being infected with COVID-19. It's printed on the box.
Yes.
But people are still wearing them everywhere. And I'll also say this, Dr. Youngblood, I have yet to wear a mask.
Amen.
And I go into restaurants and I walk in, I sit down and I eat. If they want to be so forceful as to ask me to leave, I'll say fine and I'll take my money and my business elsewhere. But I've yet to wear a mask, except I got to say this, when I was on a Delta flight, I had to put one on or they would not allow me on the flight. And I had to go to attend a funeral, so I did put the mask on then. But other than that, I have not worn a mask. And I'll tell you this, I am not going to take a vaccine. And anyone who takes a vaccine just based on the government telling you that you should is not a freedom-loving American patriot. You are not going to vaccine myself or anyone in my family as long as I can have anything to say about it. And if you want to threaten me with jail time or a fine, you go right ahead. You are not going to vaccine me. I haven't gotten a shot for the flu or anything in over 20 years, and I don't plan on starting now.
I am thankful to hear that. One of the things that is so sad is the vaccine will be enforced upon the citizens in America, in my most humble opinion, not through the federal mandates, not through the federal laws, not through the federal government or dictates from the House or the Senate, though they may try. But it's going to come as a result, just as you said, right today, every airline they put in place that you don't have a mask on, you can't fly. They're rapidly putting in place the COVID QR check by your cell phone to show whether or not you've been vaccinated and thus whether or not you'll be allowed to fly. In fact, here is an article. State Bar passes mandatory COVID-19 vaccination recommendation. The New York State Bar Association on Saturday passed a resolution urging the state to consider making it mandatory for all New Yorkers to undergo COVID-19 vaccinations when a vaccine becomes available, even if the people object to it for religious, philosophical, or personal reasons. Further, here's an article that is so timely, I believe. It says vaccination cards will be issued to everyone getting COVID-19 vaccine, health officials say. Imagine this article says images from the Department of Defense show the COVID-19 vaccination record card and vaccination kits look alike. Vaccination cards will be issued as the simplest way to keep track of the COVID-19 shots, according to Dr. Kelly Moore, Associate Director of the Immunization Action Coalition, which is supporting frontline workers who will administer the COVID-19 vaccinations. Quote, everyone will be issued a written card that they can put in their wallets to identify as having been vaccinated. Vaccination clinics will also be reporting to their state immunization registries which vaccine was given, and that will be reported then to the National Health Administration. Every dose administered will be reported to the U.S. Center for Disease Control and Prevention, and Executive Director of the Association of Immunization Managers has said. And the article is about a 3-page article going further. Here's another point. How elitists are leveraging COVID-19 to reset the world. Here's another article. States have authority to fine or to jail people who refuse the COVID-19 vaccination. I could go on and on and on, but the most frightening is what they're doing right now in China and in Israel. Israel is the latest. This article says it is from Matt Staver. Matt Staver says, no vaccine, no Holy Land tour. Israeli vaccination plan. You won't be able to buy, sell, or travel without the vaccination in Israel. Israel has closed its borders to international travelers and non-full-time residents. As of Sunday, full-time residents are restricted from traveling more than 1 kilometer from their homes. Over 300 checkpoints have been established on highways and thoroughfares to perform random compliance checks. Tens of thousands of fines, mostly for refusal to wear a mask and or for refusing to be vaccinated. The Israeli government has announced it's issuing green passports to be used when Israel reopens, similar to the Communist Chinese COVID tracking application. This new Israeli health passport will display a green status to all who have received both doses of the rushed COVID vaccine. Quote, whoever is vaccinated will automatically receive a green status, according to the chief medical officer in Israel. Therefore, you may vaccinate and receive green status to go freely into all of the green zones. They'll be open to you for cultural events and for other things, opening up for shopping malls, hotels, and restaurants for you to be able to buy and sell. Survey shows that 50 to 75% of Israelis plan to refuse the vaccination, end quote. So, Congressman, does that put us on the trajectory that's on the fast track for having the having to receive a vaccination, as we find in Revelation 13, you won't be able to buy, sell, or trade, or open your business without a COVID pass. Are we on the track for that?
I would say not with this scenario, Dr. Youngblood. The Bible is true, and the Bible says that there is going to come a time when you won't be able to buy, sell, or trade without the mark of the beast. I'm not so sure that COVID-19 is that mark of the beast. And I would say
it's the foreshadowing of it and the implication of where we're going.
That's true. I would agree with that. It does show how it can take place, how it can happen.
Yes.
Now, the interesting part of that article you were just reading was that it was saying that over 50% of the Israeli citizens said they're not going to take the vaccine. When you have a vast majority not taking it, you can't put everyone in jail. You can't fine everyone because not everyone's going to pay. And then what? And I can also see a scenario happening, Dr. Youngblood, where the black market will take over and you will see the selling and buying of fake COVID vaccine inoculations, where people will be able to say, well, here's my card. I've been vaccinated and it's fake. They bought it from someone, or it was placed on their phone fraudulently because they bought it. I could see that taking place. You know, and what that will do is forcing people who normally want to be law-abiding, who normally want to tell the truth, will force them into a situation where they would be breaking the law or lying because they're saying, look, here's my proof that I had the vaccine, but they never took it. So it is a very dangerous trajectory that we're going on, Dr. Youngblood. And I'll say this. I want to leave you and your audience with a little bit of hope, this perspective. I honestly believe that on January 20th, President Trump is going to be sworn in as President of the United States for a second term. I believe that is going to happen. And these scenarios that we're reading about, these horrific doomsday scenarios, I don't think we're going to have to be as concerned about them yet. It's coming. The Bible tells us it's going to be a one-world government. It is coming. Yes. But I believe that God in his mercy is going to extend to us his grace so that his gospel can continue to be preached around the world.
Absolutely. And I am thankful for that ray of hope that we do have. And our hope is not in man. Our hope is not in government. Our hope is in God and what God can do. And that's the reason I've said over and over and over, we need to pray, seek God's face, humble ourselves, and come before him and ask him to heal our land and to provide victory in this election, final results of this election. But there is a state, that is the state of New York, that's already introduced legislation. It is the Senate Assembly Bill A-111-79. Quote, would mandate that the vaccination of all individuals or groups or of individuals who, as shown by clinical data, are proven to be safe to receive COVID-19 vaccine. This mandate would only take effect, however, after a vaccine is approved and its promotion and distribution plans have commenced and the public health officials determine the residents of the state are not developing sufficient immunity for COVID-19. Title of this article is, New Bill Would Require Virtually All New Yorkers to Receive COVID-19 Vaccinations. And in the bill, it specifically states that you cannot object to it based on religion, a philosophical rationale, or for personal reasons. In fact, I find it objectionable when even our medical society, Congressman, my oncologist recently refused to see me any further because I refused to wear a mask and said, just find another physician. There is a mindset that's permeated society that everybody needs to bow and be subject to and be in submission to what the government says without any realization of where this is taking us as a society. So I'm with you. We need to look up and understand that God is still on the throne, that God is still over all, and he is in control. Congressman, thank you so much for joining us today. I pray that you and your family will have a blessed, happy new year. Ladies and gentlemen, join us again next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located 1/2 mile south of I-295. FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 9:45 p.m. for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You are invited to worship with them, 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study. Prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in the same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard in its entirety 9 p.m. on 100.3 FM and 93.3 HD3. You're also invited to tune in Sunday mornings at 8 a.m. on Talk 100.3 for expository preaching. Tune in and invite others to listen.